Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome into the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Andrew P. Shea. First of all, happy Thanksgiving week to everyone. Hope you all had a great one. And before we get started, Andy, on the football line, you and I were talking Thanksgiving food. Real quickly, just share with everyone the secret ingredient to your stuffing.
Oh, it's a familiar ingredient, and it's bacon. It's just a wee little bit, though. It's not like bacon heavy. It's more for the bacon flavor grease. And crumble it up, but I use the grease as a sort of to cook the Holy Trinity in. So the bacon gives me the flavor, and it's like, oh, that's really different tasting. Thank you. It's bacon.
And I will only correct you on one thing, Andy. It's not grease, it's flavor. Just so we all understand that and appreciate that. All right, Andy, let's move on to football. As much as I'd like to talk food, let's move on. Let's say, you know, we've gone through this all week talking about that Penn State Rutgers football game. Let's now talk about our takeaways as we're going into the end of the season, last game, and then a bowl game. Is first of all, let's talk about where we sit on the offensive coordinator situation. You had Mike Yurcich, who was the guy for James Franklin a couple years ago to bring in. He's out. He's gone. They have the interim co-offensive coordinators. First off, did you see anything different in the game against Rutgers with the new offensive coordinators?
I didn't. Not really. I saw a play or two here that looked a little bit different for the running backs and where they were trying to get them into space a little bit. But other than that, I mean, I really didn't see a whole lot. I know James Franklin had a couple play sheets in his hand. I'm sure he was, you know, he had more of his fingers in the pot this, you know, since his offensive coordinator was fired. But did I see it? Did it look a lot different? No, maybe, you know, they were a little more committed to the quarterback run with Drew Aller in there. You know what I mean? They were by design. They were intentional. They were, you know, they were blocked on purpose. Instead of using it as a changeup, it was a little bit more of a design. But really, other than that, Jimmy, no, because, you didn't see the tight ends, you know, become more of a focal point or anything like that. The wide receivers were same as it ever was, right? So I didn't really see much difference, to be dead honest with you.
It seemed like there were a couple moments, as you said, where they tried to do something different, be a bit different. I took note that the very first play from scrimmage was a pass, and it was a pretty easy one. It was, you know, James Franklin had preached all week about getting Drew Aller into a rhythm, giving him some easy passes. We saw it on the first play, but I'm not sure we saw much of it after that, Andy.
Oh, no, we did not. It was still choppy. It was still wonky is the best way to put it. It does not look cohesive. It does not feel like it's functioning and executing at a high level. It just literally feels like it's play to play. It was never going to change that much either, Jimmy. This isn't about Ty and Jaywon Sider. It's just the way that this is, you know, this was game 11, and they'd been doing this for 10 games. So it still feels like the sputtering engine that maybe possibly might be able to could.
Now, you got to at least put in there into the equation, Andy, that Drew Aller only threw 13 passes, one of them being that last play, which I don't even count. So I'll call it 12 passes. Then he came out with an injury. You hit on a couple things about the intentional running with Drew Aller. And everybody knows what my pet peeves are, Andy. What I found interesting was he ran more, but it was on those quarterback draws. it wasn't him keeping the ball when you had a read option.
No. It was going to be a quarterback draws. There is no read option when he's the quarterback. That's just, you know, the way it is. And, you know, he's not a confident quarterback right now. There's no other way to put it, Jimmy. He doesn't have a lot of confidence in what he is doing and what the offense is doing. It's pretty clear. You know, it's not like he's terrible or he lost all his skills. He's just not playing very confidently. I'm not saying he's absence of he has a complete lack of his own ability to do what he's going to do. He's just not very sure and very confident right now. And it's not, I think it's a product of the offense, and it's partly his responsibility, but I don't think it's mainly his responsibility. And, you know, the injury sort of, it helped, you know, it helped sort of force, you don't want to see anybody get hurt, but it sort of helped force what James has been sort of threatening to do all season, which is, you know, sort of, we have a package for Bro Pabula. They're two different quarterbacks. Yeah, you're right. Everyone agrees. They are two distinctly different quarterbacks. They bring something different to the table. They do. It took 11 games to see it, other than in a mop-up scenario, pretty much. So it was interesting to see that the sort of the football gods forced, you know, head coach James Franklin and the guys that were running the offense that game to sort of go with that.
Well, Andy, it did. To me, what it looked like is they are scrambling around trying to find out who they are as an offense with Drew Aller in there. As soon as Bo Prabula came in the game, they knew who they were.
Yeah, the ship had sailed with trying to figure out how to make a pro-style, you know, pocket passer type quarterback who can run a little bit and is good on his feet and is not a statue standing back there, by the way. I'm not saying that. But in this offense and sort of the way James Franklin's offense is built, and he's a square peg in a round hole a little bit, right? I mean, I've said it all along. Like, Bo Prabula is more of the ideal square, you know, round peg in a round hole. He fits more in sort of what James's offense and how James Franklin likes to run his offense. He just fits better. It doesn't mean he's better or more talented than Drew. He's not. That's 100% clear. But when he's in there, they can run more 12 and 13, even 13 personnel. It makes the tight ends more relevant. He didn't throw the ball because they didn't have to, but it makes the tight ends more relevant than the wide receivers. I mean, and the other thing is about Drew Aller, you said, like, it's just, you know, they didn't know who they were or what they were with him. I think it took me a long time to watching this season to figure it out that, yeah, okay, we know the wide receiver struggles and we can talk about some of that, but he needs better wide receivers to throw to. Like, it's incumbent on him to get them the ball per se, but I don't think he's ever had many quarters this year where he's looking down the field and seeing multiple guys or, you know, a lot of guys wide open. The offense just sort of, it's stagnant when he's in there. And I think the wide receivers make it even more stagnant because they struggle to get open and run crisp and solid routes. And the whole passing game just looks off kilter when he's in there pretty much. The majority of the season, I'm not going to say every single play, but the majority of the season. And he needs better receivers to throw to. That's just my takeaway for Drew Aller, is not because he's not good as a quarterback, but because he's got this certain skill set, they need better receivers for him, not to help him, but to make the offense more functional. He needs better wideouts. And that has been, I think, Penn State's biggest problem, that the wideouts sort of can't drag themselves, or he can't drag them to a level where they can be in sync together.
Andy, I get it. I understand the not being able to get any spacing or, you know, get away from their defenders. But what I wonder is, what have the coaches done to help them? What have they schemed to help the receivers get separation?
Oh, $64,000 question, and I'd be a coach. I don't know, Jimmy. I swear to gosh, I'd love to answer questions, and I don't like to say, well, I don't really have an opinion. That is a massive mystery to me in this defense, because if you look at the wide receivers, right? Okay, Keandre Lambert-Smith, he's a wide receiver two at best, maybe a wide receiver three on, you know, a regular power five offense. And he's got 53 catches or 52 catches this year. So, okay. But the last two games, he has one catch and he didn't even get a target against Rutgers. And I know the game kind of worked out funny, but it can't be about one receiver. It can never be in the modern game about one receiver. So if you go at the wide receiver position and then you go, okay, the next three pass catchers are Dante Cephas, Trey Wallace, and Liam Clifford. Jimmy, the three of them don't have as many catches as Keandre Lambert-Smith combined. So, in other words, for a defense, it's so easy. You really don't have to worry about anybody else but number one at the wide receiver position, because nobody else is going to really do anything other than the odd play here or there. Now, Trey Wallace has been hurt and limited. That's a whole different, you know, scenario that we're talking about. But generally speaking, overall, when you're looking at Penn State, you go, they got one receiver you kind of have to worry about. That's it. You really don't have to put any time or effort into focusing on the other receivers. Just make sure somebody's got them covered, because they kind of cover themselves a little bit. I've watched, they kind of, you know, lollystep into routes sometimes and aren't fully committed to the route they're running. They're absolutely disgraceful as a wide receiver group. When he's under pressure and moving away from the ball and scrambling, they don't help him hardly at all when you get the shots downfield. And I know you sitting in the press box watching the games, you see that. You're like, when he takes off, they're not really providing him a lot of help. So their lack of development at that position for Penn State this year has absolutely hamstrung and nearly hung this offense all year long.
Yes, and I want to continue that conversation about the wide receivers when we get back, Andy, because sure. I just feel like there's more there than, oh, they can't get separation. What I want to know, Andy, is what are the coaches doing to scheme and help the wide receivers get open? I'm going to let you answer that question when we get back. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers, Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
Oh,
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Andy. I'm Jim. We are kind of taking our last look at that Penn State-Rutgers game and what are the takeaways from it. And Andy, we were talking about this whole quarterback situation, Drew Aller, the wide receivers. And I want to throw something at you. As I said, most of the pundits, the issue with the receivers is the inability to get separation. And I get that. I understand how that works. But it also makes me wonder about, you know, what are the coaches doing to help scheme the players open? Because even if you watch, like, Marvin Harrison against Penn State a few weeks ago, yes, there were some plays where it was his talent and skill that got him open. But I'd even say it felt like the majority of the times he was schemed open. He didn't do anything right, particularly special to get separation. And we don't see that at Penn State. And what I also want to tie into this is, you have a situation where Lambert Smith, he's called the number one receiver, probably because there just isn't that much talent elsewhere. But we've seen Dante Cephas now for weeks, and you have situations like there was the play where, you know, it looked like Drew Aller threw either a god-awful pass or he and Cephas weren't on the same page. And if you look at the play, it's probably Cephas ran the wrong route. It seemed pretty obvious.
Yep.
But it makes me wonder about why aren't we seeing some of the other folks, and I'll bring up Liam Clifford, and this may be a small sample size, but he had one target, and guess what? He had separation, went across the middle, and had a 15-yard gain, and that was the last time Liam Clifford was targeted. Something doesn't feel right there.
Right. It is bad coaching, Jimmy. There is some bad coaching going on. If something works – like Liam Clifford, not a regular, quote, wide receiver type guy, a slot guy. All right, if something works, you don't run it again the next play, but that was in the first half. You definitely run that play again at some point, right? Because it worked. So that's the next, it doesn't feel so, I'll explain it this way. Like, so I watch a Penn State game, then of course I'm watching more college football because I watch way too much college football. But you turn on a college football game, and then I'm watching other offenses, and I'm like, you see them complete like an option route where there's two receivers running off of each other in different options, and they sort of run each other, and one of them runs themselves open, right? Like the combo routes, option routes. And then they complete like a little 15-yard pass just over the linebackers in front of the corner and safety, and it's like, that's a well-designed play. You don't see those from Penn State very often. Do you understand what I'm saying, Jimmy? Like, you don't see much where you're like, that's a really good play. Good call, good design, right situation, good play call. I don't see a lot of combo and option and, you know, complementary routes being run off of each other out there. And maybe that's because that's by design or whatever. But when I watch, and it doesn't matter who I'm watching, when I'm watching other college football games after watching a Penn State game on Saturdays, I'm watching the other games and I'm like, yeah, I didn't see that in that 3 hours. I don't see that very often when I'm watching Penn State. There's just some common things you don't see in the passing game that you haven't seen out of Penn State this year. And I'm not talking about the deep shots and trying to take their shots down the field and get big plays and explosives and whatever. I'm talking about basic, simple combo and option routes at Penn State where they use the receivers off of each other. I'm just not seeing it very much. Those are some of the easiest throws for quarterbacks to make because they're looking in the same area and they've got two options. They have to make the read and the receivers are running off of each other. It's the easiest throw for quarterbacks to make, and I just don't see a lot of it happening. That is my biggest – that sort of goes back to how Marvin Harrison was schemed open. I don't think Penn State – all season has done a good job helping these wide receivers help their quarterback.
And Andy, I liked what you said about the fans. It's real easy to say, oh, they're not going over the top. Well, what they're also not doing is throwing the ball in the middle of the field, 15, 20 yards downfield, and you've got a quarterback with the arm skill, the arm talent, the arm strength to make that pass on a line. And what I found really fascinating was the two passes to wide receivers over the middle were to Omari Evans and Liam Clifford, guys that we don't see much of. And I do realize they talked about Omari Evans, I think even on the broadcast, saying he really wasn't open, so he got no separation. But Drew Aller threw such a good pass, it was in a position where Evans right. could make a play. That's, to me, is more reason why, because you have a quarterback with that arm talent, and we're not seeing that done, Andy. And, you know, maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but you see, I'm not begging for over the top. I'm begging for 15, 20 yards down the middle of the field. And again, you have a quarterback who could make those throws. Andy, let's shift gears a little bit now to the backup quarterback. And I gave out this statistic previously this week, but I think it's worth repeating, Andy. The running back seemed to be the biggest beneficiary of a new quarterback in there. The first half, Catron Allen, with Aller in the game, he was 9 carries for 24 yards, less than 3 yards a carry. Second half, 7 carries, 45 yards, over 6 yards a carry. Nick Singleton, first half, with Aller in the game, 5 carries, 10 yards. Second half, with Bo Prabhul in, 6 carries, 52 yards, over 8 yards a carry. Coincidence, Andy?
No, because Bo Prabhul is a threat to run the ball. That's it. And they're running 12 and 13 personnel exclusively, right? That's what they were doing. And there is a way that this offense, I think, could and could have been a little better run and utilized with bringing Bro Prabula's skills to the table. I'm not talking a quarterback share, but I said it before the Ohio State game. We talked about it. I'm like, okay, that they had threatened all, you know, they had not threatened, but they had sort of teased all season that, you know, there is this difference that Bro Prabula brings. It's a little different offense. They're very different quarterbacks. We knew that. So let's see it. Let's use it. It's an asset. There is a way. I'm hoping for the Michigan State game, and Franklin said he expects Drew Aller to be healthy and ready to go and start. I hope for the Michigan State game. My thinking is, I'm not saying you alternate series. I'm saying you have a plan to use Bo Prabhul against Michigan State in the first half as an asset for you. Whatever that looks like and however you determine it, but you can't leave him on the sideline. The running backs are going to benefit from it, A, because they're exclusively in 12 and 13, and B, the entire defense now has to worry about number 9 as well as number 10 as well as number 13. What they don't have to worry about are any of the wide receivers or, you know, to a degree, the tight ends in the passing game when Prabhul is in there, which is kind of the way it is when Drew Aller's in there as well, sort of. So, you know, it's kind of a weird dynamic in that respect because they really don't have to worry about it. They can focus even more on the running backs when Drew Aller's at quarterback because he's not the threat with his legs that Bo Prabhul is, and that is going to help the running backs. It's all been – we've heard it all year. You know, how do you help – you know, these running backs are struggling. They're kind of stuck in the mud a little bit. They need a little help too. They're really talented, but they need a little help, and that help – was number 9. He's always been there. He's always good. He would have brought this to the table from game 1. I just know the kid, and I've watched him play enough that I'm like, this kid has a role that he can play that could really, really help this team. We just didn't see it till the 11th game of the year.
Andy, I've had the theory all year that Drew Aller needs to keep the ball on those read options. Once in a while, he's not going to be the same threat as Bo Prabhul. My theory is that just the threat of the quarterback keeping the ball forced the defense to at least acknowledge it's a possibility. And now in this game, as you said, they let Drew Aller run the ball, but it was on the quarterback draws. It was never as a threat on the read option. And the one last thing I'll add to it, Andy, is when Bo Prabula, he was one for one, threw one pass. It was the triple threat option where he chose not to give it to the running back. He rolled out, or went outside. He could have kept the ball, or he could have thrown the ball, which is what he did. Put the defender in conflict. The defender had to make a decision which who to take, the quarterback or the tight end receiver, had to make a choice. In 10 games, we didn't see that one time from Drew Aller, did we?
No, and I'm going to counter here, Jimmy, a little bit and say I don't think you could have. He's 6'4". He's a big kid. I think you get him out on those edges. He's not very nimble. Like, Bo Prabula can make you miss and is very elusive and nimble. I swear to gosh, Jimmy, I think you got Drew Aller hurt and hit hard because he's not elusive and he's not very nimble. He's not a terrible runner. He's not immobile in any way, shape, or form. He's just not nimble and fluid. It's okay. Even when he's running those quarterback draws, Jimmy, it's just a little bit awkward. They've got, you know, running back in front of him blocking for him, which, by the way, Catron Allen blocks those plays really, really well. But, you know, he's not very fluid. And he's a big kid. They're going to kill him. He's going to get hurt if they try and do that. And I'm not saying that's an excuse. I'm just saying, I don't know if I want him out there because he's going to get slaughtered, Jimmy. Someone's going to clock him. And he got hurt because he kind of went down a little awkward and didn't know what to do, and he's not very fluid. And he got hit really hard. And he could take a hit, but that's a hard, hard hit.
Well, you know, and tell me if I'm right or wrong on this, though. With that quarterback draw, you are almost guaranteeing he's going to take a hit. If he's going outside, the sideline is his friend. He could angle away from tackles. It feels to me like they were taking a bigger risk with him running the quarterback draw.
Well, they've got a blocker in front of him, so that's his friend. You've got the sideline as your friend on the quarterback. You do have a fair point, Jimmy. I'm not arguing with you. You have a very valid point, but it's tomato, tomato, and I just think the more he runs, the worse it is for Penn State.
Okay, Andy, that's going to be it for quarter number two. Stick around quarter three. Guess what? We're going to take your questions. We're going to take your questions, and we're going to ask Andy. So you want to stay tuned for that coming up right after the break. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter three. We all know what that means. It's time to ask Andy. We take your questions for Andy. He gives us the answers. At the end, we pick out the best question, and we award the prize pack from 409tailgateclub.com. Andy, are you all set to go, my friend?
Let's go. You.
All right. Okay. Most importantly, though, remember, if you want to send your question to Andy, download the app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy and Ask T. Frank button there. That's all you got to do. All right, let's start with Randy from Binghamton, New York, who says, what's all this talk about hiring an offensive coordinator? Didn't we get the guy from Army at halftime of the Rutgers game? I think he's alluding to the fact that they ran the ball quite a bit in the second half, Andy.
They won the game. Michigan did it the week before against Penn State, won the game, but that's funny. Randy, that's really funny. Yeah, they're going to be what offensive coordinator shopping. They're going to be hamstrung. These guys they're not offensive coordinators and play callers. They're position coaches, sort of, you know, shoved into a role. They're going to be figuring out as well. And hey, if it's working, if it ain't broke, don't try and fix it, is my scenario. But how they handle the offensive coordinator position in the off seasons, going to be very interesting. I have some thoughts and scenarios. We can either, how about you? Do you want me to share them with you now, Jimmy, in answer to Randy's question? Do you want me to wait?
Let's wait. I'm sure we'll have time in the next week or two to get into that, because the other thing to remember is they're probably going to make the decision fairly quickly. James talked about the way he did it with Manny Diaz.
Correct.
I think he wants to get someone in place to get to know the team, travel with them to the bowl game, and kind of get to know everybody. Okay, let's go with Sam in Collegeville. Interesting question here, Andy. Sam says, Andy, you once picked Christian Hackenberg over Drew Aller.
Ooh.
That now seems like you knew something the rest of us didn't. Can you explain that choice and why it now makes sense?
Wow. My biggest roast ever on KSN comes back again. It's my concern was, I thought Drew Aller and his skill set, while I like it a lot and know he has layers of talent as a quarterback, I wasn't sure. I thought it might be a square peg in a round hole. That's what I thought. He was a greenhorn, and I'm like, look, I haven't seen enough to know if he can command this offense. And I also knew that he wasn't going to get much help at the wide receiver position. Going into the season, that was it. He needs them just not to be terrible and provide him just a little bit of help. And early on, he got a little bit of that early on. But then it went away, and it went away really fast, and that's sort of hindered him. So I'm not going to gloat and say I knew something that nobody else did. I didn't. I just was like, I need a little bit more of the body of work, but I have some concerns, particularly about this team and inherently sort of the way I know James Franklin likes to have his offense function and operate and work, and what kind of quarterback can do that well and what that looks like, you know, from his time at Vanderbilt. And then his, obviously all those years at Penn State, you know what he wants and what it's looked like. And I knew what that was. And I wasn't sure Drew Aller was a good fit for that, but I knew he had a load of talent that James had never had either. So part of that is coaching, because I don't think James and his staff have realized Drew Aller's talent. They did not do a good job of realizing his talent.
I think that was the key. I blame it more on the coaching than I do on Drew Aller. I think the talent is still there. The skill set is still there. I don't I hope whoever comes next is able to bring that out. All right, and I think this is related to the question. Steve from Huntington Valley says, Jim and Andy, I've got a nagging feeling that the issues with the passing game are more than just the often quoted lack of talent. In the first game against West Virginia, we saw a rookie quarterback in his first start throw for over 300 yards, three TDs, while spreading it around to six different wide receivers. I know West Virginia is not a great team, but the real Power 5 opponent with a winning record in the Big 12. This unit has regressed over 11 games. Drew Aller seems like he's not been coached at all. Two questions for you. From your perspective, does this appear to be the case of a head coach that has lost the locker room? Because it does to me. And second, has Danny O'Brien earned your confidence as a quarterback coach? And I say no.
Huh, interesting. Danny O'Brien as a quarterback coach. Steve, you know what? I'm going to agree with you on that one. I'm not sure he's done a good job. That's a good call. I like that one. And James losing the locker room, I'm going to disagree with you on that. I don't think James has lost the locker room. And I also think Drew Aller himself, and this goes back to Danny a little bit, he's lost his confidence and his trust of himself. They go together. I don't think he trusts himself. You know, he's talented, but trust and confidence in yourself matter. And it's not like he's a kid who's walking around lost. He's just not confident at the next level. It's not like he's a drag on the ticket. That's like a good question, Steve, but I'm going to agree with you and disagree with you.
Well, you know, I think his observations are accurate, but I think his conclusions are off. I don't think James Franklin has lost the locker room, but his premise that something is wrong, I think, is accurate. And whether you want to say, hey, it's Mike Yurcich, you know, I think if you take James Franklin's side, you're going to point at Mike Yurcich as the issue. But if you have a clash there, and think about your own workplace, wherever you are, comes a time when, you know, the manager, the boss, and an employee just clash. Just things aren't in sync. And guess what? The boss always wins that debate, okay? It's not the employee. And in this situation, it was Mike Yurcich. And maybe there were some hints early on because the offense seemed dysfunctional. I also, you know, I kind of look at that Mike Yurcich going from the sideline to up above to the coach's box. I'm kind of reading it different now in hindsight than I did at the time. Yes. And it became Danny O'Brien on the sideline with Drew Aller all the time. You know, I'm wondering if there was already, and we've gotten some hints of it, there was some kind of issue between James Franklin and Mike Yurcich, right, Andy?
It started, the West Virginia game was shiny, happy people, but red flags started going up in the Illinois game, and then they went up again in the Northwestern game. Those are your first four games. You know, we talked about in the preseason, we need to see like 12 to 16 quarters of Drew Aller. So there were already concerns with the offense. Great call on the moving up to the press box. And in the end, I think it became a disconnect, clearly. But now that I've thought about it a little bit more, I just want to share with the audience what I think. I think Mike Yurcich was coaching to please himself instead of coaching to please his head coach. He was trying to prove something to himself. Like, I can make this work. I can make it work how I want it to work. And I think James wanted him to run an offense in how James saw it functioning and working. And I think that now that I think about it more holistically and I've had a little more time, I think that's where I land. I think Mike Yurcich was coaching to prove something to himself more than anything else.
All right, let's move on. Let's get to Kent in Raleigh, he says, this is not part of my question, not to be read on the podcast, but I'm going to read this anyway. Jim, I have to give you a compliment. You do a great job at asking questions that a true fan would ask. It's good to listen to someone that understands their listeners. Kent didn't mean for that to go over the air, but somehow I felt obligated to put that out there, Andy. And thank you, Kent. All right. Kent says, though, his question, during Saturday's game, Jack Ham commented about how our running game opened up once Bo came in and he started running the ball. James Franklin mentioned the same thing in his press conference. Last year, we had a very good running game when we had a mobile quarterback. My question is, what does Penn State need to do to make our running game as effective with Drew, a pro-style pocket passer?
Oh, man. Well, if I could answer that cogently and completely, but I am going to answer it, I would put in my resume for the offensive coordinator job. But because I think that's the question James needs to ask of his next offensive coordinator. But I think, man, oh, man, Jimmy, I think you just have to throw it 40 times a game and give the and it's almost like you have to tell a shooter to keep shooting. In other words, he has, in order to make the running game more effective, he has to pass the ball more. Because the more they try and lean on the running backs, the easier it is for a defense.
Andy, my response to this question is, he's right. I think the style of running game has to change. I think they have two choices. If they're going to run these zone reads, these read options, the option is for the quarterback to keep it and run it. And if you eliminate that, if you eliminate that option, which they essentially have, the defense, they are never, never, never going to wait for the quarterback to run the ball if he never, never is. So that's not the running game you got to use.
If it's third and seven, right, other than in a scenario, third and seven or more for Penn State's offense, and they generally go in one back, whether it's 10 or 13's back there, if you're a defensive player, other than if it's third and seven or longer, the every other snap in the game that you're playing defense, what's your focus? It's either 10 or 13, right? That's what your front seven's thinking and looking at and reading off of. And it's easier for their defensive linemen too, because they know that they're gonna be blocked in the run. They're gonna know exactly what's going on. So yeah, that's a good point, Jimmy.
Okay. Andy, we're out of time. We need a winner. Who you got?
Sam in Collegeville. You brought it back. You're the winner, my man.
Sam learned to suck up to Andy, and that's a winning strategy. All right, that's it for Ask Andy. Stick around. We have Sean coming in with Sean's Take after another winning week. You want to stay tuned for that. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers, Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. TrustStateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Sean Gold, and it's time for Sean's Take. Sean gives us his picks for the upcoming college football weekend. Sean, last week, 4-2. Over your last 2 weeks, my friend, you are 11-2 and on fire.
Well, we need to keep that going. It's been a good past couple weeks. We've got some more games today, so that's more opportunities to add some wins to the record, and that's what we got to do this week.
All right, let's keep it going. Let's start with those Penn State Nittany Lions. They escaped for you last week. When we recorded last week, it was 20.5 points. I think the spread went down a little bit. Penn State's winning margin ended up being 20-21. And now Penn State at Michigan, the Nittany Lions, a 20.5 point favorite over Michigan State.
It's another big spread here, and it's really hard to tell what exactly we're going to get from this game. At this point in the season, I'm not overly excited about Penn State's offense, but I do think they are going to be able to put up some points against Michigan State's defense that hasn't been great this season. And I also do not have faith that Michigan State's offense is going to score very much against Penn State's very, very, very good defense this week. So the Nittany Lions have been great against the spread all year long for us. I think they're going to cover once again here. It may not be the prettiest performance, but I do think they will take care of business on the road this week.
Well, the other part to this game, remember, is the game is not being played in East Lansing. It's being played in Detroit in an NFL stadium indoors, which I think helps the favored team, which is Penn State. And the fact that they're flying directly into Detroit, don't need that extra bus ride to East Lansing. I think everything there is an advantage to Penn State. And Michigan State, a forgettable season. They'll be 1 foot out the door by halftime is my prediction. So I'm with you on this one. I think this is a Penn State win. All right, it pains me to say it, but the big game of the weekend, Sean, it's that Ohio State Buckeyes at the Michigan Wolverines. Michigan is home for this, and Michigan is a 3.5-point favorite. That point spread is pretty close to what is given to the home team. So going in, pretty evenly matched, but Michigan the favorite at home.
We have been waiting for this game all year long, and it's finally here. And that's because we need to see how good both of these teams really are. They both played Penn State. They both beat Penn State. But outside of that, neither of these teams have really been tested this year. And so when they go head-to-head, it's going to tell us a lot. And I think it's going to be very interesting as well to see what the committee makes of this game. Because whoever loses this game is going to drop in the rankings. But depending on how badly they lose is going to depend on how bad they fall. So I've said it before, I think Michigan is the best team in college football. And while I may have to put them back a spot because Georgia's really started to turn things up, I don't think Michigan's very far behind Georgia right now. I've liked Michigan over Ohio State all season long. I know Ohio State's ranked higher right now, but I'm going to stick with my gut and go Michigan here and say that they are truly the better team in this matchup.
Tell you what, this is the kind of game. It is evenly matched. I just keep wondering, watching these two teams, is there any way they could both lose, okay? As a Penn State fan, I have zero rooting interest in this one. Let's move on. Let's go down south, Southeast Conference with Alabama at Auburn. Now, this is supposed to be a rivalry game, intrastate. Alabama, they started slow this season, just kept playing better. Next thing you know, they still only have one loss, undefeated within the conference, and you have Auburn losing a game last week they had no right to lose. It is at Auburn. Alabama, a 14.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I think Auburn's a very interesting team right now because, as you mentioned, at points, they've looked awful this season. But at other points, they've looked good and looked very competitive. So what type of team are we going to get this week against Alabama, with it being the rivalry? I do think that Auburn's going to step up and put their best foot forward in this game. But I'm also inclined to think right now that Alabama may be the third best team in the country with the way they've been playing. Like, as you mentioned, they started out slow, but I really like what I'm seeing out of Alabama right now. And I think that they believe they can get to the college football playoffs. They're going to have to beat Georgia in a championship game. We know that. But I think they believe they can do that. And I think they're putting themselves in position to be able to have a shot at doing that. And that means that this week against Auburn, they're going to need to put a performance down in the rivalry game. So the tide is rolling right now, and I think they're going to roll through Auburn this weekend.
Very good. I'll tell you what, I think I agree with you on that one. The rivalry game, maybe for a quarter, Auburn sticks around just with adrenaline. But in the long run, I see Alabama pulling away in that one also. It just has that feel that, yes, the tide is rolling. They want a resume builder going into the championship game, the conference championship game the following week against Georgia. I'm with you on that one. I think it's Alabama. Next up on our list, we have Florida State at Florida. We have all these rivalry games this week. And Florida State, undefeated, but I'm not sure how many impressive wins they have. I guess they beat LSU early, correct?
Week one.
Other than that, no really big wins, impressive wins, and they just lost their quarterback. So, again, a rivalry game. But Florida's been another one of those disappointing teams this season. But they're hosting Florida State, and Florida State is a 6.5-point favorite. Again, just under that touchdown mark, Sean.
It is a very hard line to read. And like you said, without the quarterback there, it changes the dynamic of this Florida State team. And that's what I'm most concerned about here. I will say it's been an interesting season for Florida State. The LSU win, they beat Clemson, which was good, but Clemson's also not the Clemson they've been in the past. And it's a dangerous time to play the Florida Gators in Gainesville. The Gators may have a losing record right now, but that's not a team at home that anyone wants to have to play against. And Florida kind of bites when you least expect them to. So it's really tough with the in-state rivalry, with the game in Gainesville, to get a read on this. But I do think it's a special year for Florida State right now. And I think they'll be able to overcome some adversity right here. And I'm going to go with them to have a gritty win and find a way to pull this thing out and get a win. And I'll go with them winning by a touchdown or more to cover the spread. It's not an easy one, but I do think they will find a way with how this season has been going for them.
They probably will find a way to eke that one out. But doesn't this one kind of smell like an upset special, Sean?
It definitely does. And I was inclined to go with the upset, but I think Florida State's been gearing up for this year specifically for the past couple years with their recruiting classes. And so I think that they're going to, some weird things can happen down in Gainesville. And I think something's going to happen in this game where the flow of the game goes to Florida State, maybe late in this game, maybe a pick six or a fumble recover touchdown type of thing. And Florida State will squeak out a victory. And I will go with them covering the spread when they do that.
Okay, it's time to go to the West Coast, and let's start with Oregon State at Oregon. Now, this is not Oregon State at home. It's the Oregon Ducks who are home. A week ago, it was Washington at Oregon State, and you took the Beavers, and that kind of surprised me. And sure enough, they were Oregon State was able to pull that out for you. No.
You were favorites.
Yeah, I messed that one up. It was the other way. Washington eked it out, but it was a close game. I was surprised. I thought Washington would take it to them. But now you got Oregon State at Oregon, another one of those rivalry games. The Ducks are at home. They are a 13.5-point favorite.
Yeah, this is another interesting game with where the line is right now. And I'm really big on Oregon. I've been big on them all season long. And I do think they still may find themselves in the college football playoffs. I think they can beat Washington in a Pac-12 championship game, and I think they can head to the playoffs. But we have to acknowledge this is still a very good Oregon State team as well, who, when they lose, do not lose by a lot of points. So I think Oregon's going to win this game, but I think the spread's a little too big for how good Oregon State is, and I know it's in Oregon, but I do think that they will lose by less than two scores, like the spread is saying. So give me Oregon State to cover this line.
That's an interesting one. I kind of look at it with Oregon at home, again, looking to build the resume, because if they do beat Washington the following week, there's a good chance there'll be multiple one-loss teams vying for the playoff. I got a feeling that Oregon's going to want to put up some show points here and blow out the Beavers. I'm kind of leaning the Ducks' way. We're going to stay out on the West Coast, and it's Washington State at Washington. Washington, as we mentioned earlier, just eked by Oregon State. They're a big favorite here against Washington State. Washington, a 16.5-point favorite, Sean.
Another in-state rivalry, but I think this is a week where we see the Washington team we saw at the beginning of the season. Washington, over the past 7 weeks, have played in some very close games, and I think it's time we get another Washington blowout. I think the offense is going to come easy for them this week. I think we're going to see the Huskies put up a lot of points like we saw early in the year, and I think they're going to light up the scoreboard, and I think they're going to cover this line and then some.
Yeah, I've been waiting for them. They were impressive early in the season. Then, as you said, after beating Oregon, it seemed like there was the letdown after that, and they haven't been playing that well, but they have been able to win their games, which means they'll go into their conference championship game undefeated. I like those teams that are gearing up for the playoffs for their conference championship game. I think also Washington is going to, you know, put on a show here, put up a lot of points, and we'll both be saying next week, all right, Oregon, Washington, that's the best championship game. And essentially, it will be a playoff game. The winner, I think, will be going to the college football playoffs. So I think this week we'll be just seeing that set up. All right, the quick review. We've got Penn State over Michigan State, Oregon State over Oregon, Michigan over Ohio State, Alabama over Auburn, Florida State over Florida, and Washington over Washington State. Real quick, Sean, tell our listeners where they can find more of Sean's Take.
Yeah, everything Sean's Take is on seanstake.com. That's SHAUNSTAKE.com. All resources is there. So I'd love for you to check it out.
Fantastic, and I recommend you do head there. Remember, this is a guy who's been 11-2 over the last 2 weeks. You want to follow Sean. All right, that is it for our show. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Sean. And make sure y'all join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers, Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, statecollege.com. Trust statecollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.